Tyler Gordon got paid. Let's discuss why he's deserving of his new contract.
Bend over to your right. What the f*** was that?
What's up, Bears fans?
People want to hear me talk.
What's going on, Bears fans, and welcome to another episode of the Nicholas Moriano Show. I'm your host, Nicholas Moriano. Make sure to like, subscribe, leave a comment on this show so we can share this Bears YouTube channel with fellow Bears fans. I'm excited about this episode, you guys, because not only did one of my favorite players on the Bears get the contract that he absolutely deserves, but I'm also going to be joined by Cody Alexander in a little bit here to discuss Tyler Gordon, what he can do in Dennis Allen's defense, and honestly, just what makes him such a valuable defender to have in a defense. So for anybody who didn't know last night, maybe you're watching The Last of Us Season 2, Episode 1 just premiered. I absolutely understand that. That's obviously a big thing that I love to, I'm going to be consuming a lot of. Actually, just I downloaded the second game. Probably going to start playing it here in a little bit. But right before Season 2 of The Last of Us debuted, Ryan Poles made a move, and he said at the NFL owners' meetings, you guys, that it was a priority to get Kyler Gordon extended. Now, April 13th, he made that move happen with a three-year, $40 million contract with $31.25 million in guaranteed cash. That makes Kyler Gordon the highest-paid nickel corner in the NFL. Absolutely deserving of it. And now, well, we'll get into the reasons why once Cody gets on the show here. But, you know, to kind of get a better understanding of Kyler and what he meant, I did reach out to David Overstreet, who was the Bears nickel cornerbacks coach last season, also was with the Bears previous to that. But here's what he had to say. So I was just texting him, I'm like, thoughts on Kyler Gordon getting that contract extension, man. He said, I couldn't be more proud of him. The work that he's put in, the training, studying, and the focus, it couldn't have happened to a better dude. He's an all-pro player and an all-world person. I love him as the days are long. Hashtag Spider-Man. But there you have it, man. Like, that's coming from his coach. And, you know, David Overstreet, he has a knack for getting these nickel corners paid. He also worked with Kenny Moore. Works with Kyler Gordon. Two of the best nickel corners in the game, and now he goes to Dallas. So I can only imagine good things will follow in his footsteps as he continues to coach. But wanted to get his insight on Kyler Gordon and why he was deserving of this lucrative contract. And Kyler Gordon is Ryan Poles' first ever draft pick, you guys. They didn't have that first-round draft pick because they traded to move up Ryan Pace did in 2021 to move up to go get Justin Fields. And in that trade, it required the 2022 first round draft selection. So moved up to go get him. And that's why Kyler Gordon was Ryan Poles' first ever draft pick. All right, you guys. Well, our guest is here and I cannot wait to talk ball with him. I've been an admirer from afar, just watching on Twitter, but now you guys get to see him and I get to talk to him in person. This is Cody Alexander, the owner of Match Quarters, head of football ops at Field Vision. Cody, like, I've been following you for a while now because you do so much work, but it's so awesome to actually get to talk to you in person, and it feels like a great time with Kyler Gordon getting his contract extension. But how have you been, man?
Yeah, doing great. Thanks for having me on. Anytime I can talk about nickel play and you know, kind of enlighten everybody that this is not your third corner on Madden, that this is an actual position in the NFL, and it's really important.
Cody, what I guess gravitated you towards the nickel corner in the first place? Like, so for people like kind of, you know, hearing like that that's where your passion's at. What kind of brought you there in the first place?
Yeah, I am a corner by trade. I played corner my entire life. I played it at the college level. I coached it at the college level, coached it at the high school level. It's kind of where I've based at. So 4-2-5 is kind of near and dear to my heart. That's kind of where I'm anchored. I definitely have anchor bias for the 4-2-5 and where I began coaching. So that nickel position and how important it is kind of in the modern game, because I'm also kind of like a football nerd that likes to get into the academic level of football. And that nickel position is kind of one of those key cogs in the modern defense.
Cody, I love that. I love getting into the intricacies of, you know, all these defenses and how you break things down is amazing. But let's start off here. Like, obviously, Kyler Gordon gets paid 3 years, $40 million, making him the highest paid nickel corner in the NFL. Why is he deserving of that contract? What makes Kyler Gordon such a valuable player to have in a defense?
Well, I think what you look for in that position is a holistic approach. So it's somebody that can play at essentially zone coverage, man coverage, can blitz, and can fit the run. Those are all really critical things because the way that offenses are today, they're going to basically isolate that player in the box. They're going to find ways to get him involved in the run game. If you watch the NFL, it's a lot of condensed sets, a lot of pre-snap motion. The person who has to adjust to that on almost every play is going to be that nickel. Gordon can do almost all of those things. I think that there was a point in time, probably 10 years ago, where that was your third corner. You just played man coverage. You just kind of slid him in there and he played man coverage. And so people think, well, shouldn't he be elite at man coverage? And he has to play man coverage. And that's not necessarily the case. This person has to be able, there's clips of Kyler Gordon. In fact, I highlighted him on Match Quarters, the game in London against the Jaguars, where he is just blitzing the box, fitting stagnating big guards in terms of in the gap. Like those are things that he does really, really well. And a reason why he is the highest paid nickel in the NFL now.
When you think about his game, obviously he can do that. He has the ability to be, you know, someone that can play man, play zone coverage. But when you think of Kyler Gordon, where do you feel like he's best at? And especially now too, when we'll get to Dennis Allen in a little bit, but where do you feel like his game, you see his attributes really come to life?
I think he's really good in the blitz game. He is great edge pressure. I think that to me, the nickel pressure, especially off that edge, being able to work to the quarterback or to the running back, depending on where the back placement is. Running quarterbacks are such a big thing now. Almost every team now has some quarterback that can at least move. So being able to blitz, fitting the run, I think to me, that is where he is really good. He's also an excellent partner with Johnson, who's the corner. They tend to work together a lot of times, especially in stacks. You can tell that their communication piece is really there, which again leads to he understands what his role is in the defense and then how to adjust that for everybody around him, where I think the IQ and that ability to blitz the box is something that's really special for him.
You know what, Cody, I'm glad that you mentioned that because Jalen Johnson has talked about a lot of the communication that he's had with Kyler Gordon over the years, where they don't even have to actually communicate with each other. They just know what to expect of each other and each responsibility with whatever the defense is called on that specific play. When you're watching film of maybe Kyler Gordon, Jalen Johnson, do you see that kind of show up on tape, even though you're not seeing maybe like even a hand signal or anything? You just know that they understand what they both have to do in their respective play.
Yeah, a while back, I did a video on him and Jalen Johnson of how they played stacks, which is something that and how they were able to kind of trade off and communicate without really, you know, turning to each other, telling each other. They understood where they were supposed to be. They knew how to react off of these pattern matches, which, again, the Bears have played a lot of match cover three, so they're not playing necessarily man all the time. And so, to me, that really highlights the intelligence between those two and that communication piece between those two, because everybody thinks the information comes from the safeties in the modern defense. And that is true to an extent, but the nickel in the corner, the nickel in that, the next linebacker over, the nickel in the safety, they're kind of like, imagine it as almost like a web. They have to constantly be, or like a triangle box, depending on how many people are over there. They have to constantly be interconnected in zone. So it's not just, man, I've got that guy, and then I'm kind of like a horse with blinders on. I don't care what anybody else is doing. I have to know what everybody else is doing. And then I also have to know the expectation for the corner. And so to me, that really is when they get into these situations where they do have to communicate and they have to fit off of each other, that's where you really see that piece come together.
Now, Cody, maybe I know when I posted my video about the, you know, Kyler Gordon, his extension, there were a couple comments like, oh, overpaid. The guy only has 5 total interceptions in his career with none happening last season. Again, maybe to reassure anybody that's maybe skeptical of him getting this contract. What would you tell those people that may be doubters of Spider-Man, aka Kyler Gordon?
Yeah, interceptions are sacks for edges, right? It's a sexy stat. It's really cool when somebody gets a lot of they are humongous plays and big swings in games, but it's more of a quarterback stat than it really is a defensive stat. I think too, a lot of times people want a nickel to have it. A lot of times they're in underneath coverage or they're doing certain things. They're the ones that are creating those tips and overthrows and not necessarily going to be getting it. A lot of times their picks is that the quarterback lost track of where they were, they're falling back, or maybe it's a vision play that they come back in underneath of it, especially playing in that Tampa 2 cover 3 defense that he's been playing in with the Bears. So to me, picks again are overrated. I think, you know, most of the top cornerbacks are going to go through situations where they're going to have two or three picks in a season. They may not have a lot of picks. I think the more match that you play, the less picks that you're going to have. So to me, I think it's a little bit overrated. I would be more concerned if we're looking at some other advanced metrics where he's giving up large chunk plays or he's actually getting targeted a lot more. Those would be more concerning than a lack of picks. Again, I think it's interceptions are the sacks for DBs.
It makes a lot of sense because a good example of that is Jalen Johnson. He doesn't get a lot of picks, but he also doesn't get targeted very much. So that kind of limits his opportunities that he can create. To kind of transition here a little bit here, Cody, Dennis Allen is now the defense coordinator of the Bears, who does play a little bit different of style than what we've seen with Matt Eberflus. Just based off of like some of the film, like I've seen some of your film clips about Dennis Allen, what do you see in him as a defensive coordinator? And then we can go into like how that affects Kyler Gordon and even the rest of the secondary.
Yeah, I actually don't think it's that going to be that big of a transition. Both Eberflus and Dennis Allen are 4-3 base guys, so that's not going to change. What's going to change is the coverage aspect of it. I think Allen is more fluid with his front style. He'll change it up. He won't always run the over front, set the three technique to the tackle, you know, or to the passing strength or to the run strength, and then he'll do some different things. He's willing to walk down some linebacker. I mean, Eberflus was trying to experiment with certain things kind of at the end, or, you know, when they were trying to do some different things and mix it up. Allen's going to be a little bit more diverse in that way. But at the end of the day, it's really a 4-3. He favors more man coverage than cover three. That will be a bigger difference. These corners will be asked to play a lot more man than they were against Eberflus. But in reality, match three versus cover one for these DBs is really very similar. Jalen Johnson is one of the best off ball corners in the NFL, meaning that he doesn't really press at volume. He can, he just doesn't. And so I don't think that there will be a huge adjustment for that.
And then one of the other wrinkles that I think we'll see specifically with a guy like Jalen Johnson, based off of his comments and what Dennis Allen's also said, like there'll be more shadowing going on for him, which didn't happen a lot with Matt Eberflus. What do you like about that detail for a guy like Jalen Johnson, who will then be asked to cover, you know, mano a mano number one versus number one, which he didn't get really an opportunity to do when he was with the Eberflus?
Yeah, so there's there's really two trees within the NFL now, is that you either have your elite corner shadow guys, or you have what's called a field and boundary corner, which Jalen Johnson would be the boundary corner. And it's using a college term, but essentially what you are doing is you're going away from the passing strength. And then there's a little bit of defenses that are going to be left and right. And so you see that, like Sauce Gardner, a lot of people think Sauce Gardner actually shadows receivers. He doesn't. He had DJ Reed on the other side, so he actually played on one side for the most part. So that's not anything new. I think with playing a lot more man, you're going to then have matchup defenses, meaning that I want certain guys on certain players. And so therefore that will be one of those where he's going to play. Now, the only caveat, and I would just put an asterisk to this, is that not every corner is comfortable playing on both sides of the ball. I know that's kind of one of those things that sounds a little bit crazy, but there are some corners that prefer playing on one side over the other. But if you are going to be an elite corner in the NFL, you need to be able to shadow. And I have no doubt that Joss will be able to do that.
Yeah, no, I'm really excited for him to get that opportunity, because I think he's up for the challenge whenever he wants to, you know, go up against, like, let's say, a Justin Jefferson in the NFC North. He'll covet that matchup. For Kyler Gordon, playing a little bit, maybe more man coverage, how do you see his game? Does this create more opportunities for Kyler, maybe to get those interceptions now that they might be playing a little bit more man coverage? Or how do you kind of see that playing out?
Yeah, actually, the more man you play, the more penalties and PBUs you get. That's typically the way to do that. I think he actually excels in man coverage. I think he's actually better in man coverage. If you look at the analytics, what we're doing at Field Vision, he actually rates higher in man than he does in zone. And I don't necessarily think that's any knock on him. He's obviously paid for a reason, and I'm 100% behind paying him. I think it actually feeds into what he can do really well. And so I have no qualms with him playing more man. I think that he'll thrive in that.
That's good to hear. I think he will as well. I don't know, Cody, do you have any thoughts on Tyrique Stevenson? I know he had kind of an up and down year last year, and I think everyone remembers the Hail Mary and how what he was doing on that specific play. But now he'll be asked to, if Jalen's going shadowing the number one, like, he's obviously going to be the guy that also is affected by that, playing on a different side. Do you have any I don't know, just observations about his game or what he's been able to do in the NFL so far?
Yeah, of the five DBs that play, he's kind of the oddball in a sense that he's not necessarily a top 30 player. Now, he is a top, if you think about it, there's two corners on the field, there's 32 teams. He's a top 64 player, so he is a starting corner in the NFL. Is he an elite guy? Is it kind of where you would like to have, you want to have this lockdown secondary? Not quite. But again, it goes back to the consistency of play, is that you know what you're getting in Jalen Johnson, who's an all-pro. You know what you're going to get in Kyler Gordon, obviously the highest paid nickel. I think both of the safeties are very good, and they fit perfectly with what Eberflus was trying to do, and then I think what Dennis Allen will be trying to do. You have a down safety and a deep safety. Those guys mesh really well. Tyrique Stevenson is really one of those guys that he's kind of the odd man out in that, because everybody kind of plays at this like semi-elite level. And so then you're kind of like, okay, well, that's kind of, you kind of get a sense that he's a little worse than he really is. He's a top 50 play. He's a top 50 corner in the NFL. If you think that sounds low, remember there's two of them playing at all times. And then we're also adding in nickels into this. So you can multiply that even further. So to me, I think he's fine. I think the more concerning thing is that they're not playing anybody else. So you have three corners in that room. You have two safeties. And really, you have the three safeties at play. But for them, I think depth is a concern as much as you're playing man as well. I think that that's something to look in the draft for, especially is another corner and another safety that can come in, because you're going to want to have four in the safety room, and you're going to want to at least have four in the corner room that you feel comfortable playing.
Makes a lot of sense, especially with the safeties too. I mean, Kevin Byard's 32, still played really well last season. And then Jaquan Brisker with the concussion, it's always up and down whether how many games he's going to play. So I think adding another player in that room is definitely going to be something that the Bears will try to do potentially in this upcoming draft. Just one last question for you here, Cody, before I let you go. I know you have some meetings to go get to, but I appreciate your time here. Is it fair to expect, given that you have the highest paid nickel corner, one of the highest paid corners, you have a good good safety group, two linebackers that I think are very capable of being two of the best in the league, that this defense under Dennis Allen should be, a top 10 unit this upcoming season? Obviously, we'll see if they add maybe more pass rushers in this upcoming draft, but does top 10 feel about right as you're kind of looking at other defenses in the league?
Yeah, if you take the beginning of last year and the end of this year, this is a top 10 defense for a full season. It just happened to be two different seasons. You had one of the best defenses to end the season in 2023. You had one of the best defenses to start the season in 2024. So there really needs to be more consistency. I think last year, in 2023, the run defense got fixed at the back half of the season, and it just amplified everything. The secondary has always been relatively top 10. It's been fitting the run, which I think, again, the Billings injury really exacerbated a lot of problems on the inside. This is a defense that really needs inside presence. That's why I'm not surprised that they went after Grady Jarrett. I do think that they need to find another big guy inside, so that, because really what you have there in Dexter is really more of like a quick three which you get a lot of times in these Tampa defenses that Eberflus was running. But you need to have a more solid base, especially if you're going to be playing like Dennis Allen. You're going to be playing a lot of nickel. You're going to be fitting the box with less players. You need some space eaters inside. But if they can fix the run fits, you already have a top 10 secondary. So now you really are looking at a top 10 defense. I think Allen just being a defensive coordinator again, I think is just only going to help that.
Well, that's the hope for the Bears team. They need that defense to get back to form. And then with hopefully Caleb Williams taking that jump in year two, could potentially be a fun year for Bears fans. But Cody, I just want to thank you for jumping on here, talking some ball. Again, we became a lot smarter football fans just listening to you talking. Where can people find your work and just kind of follow you with everything that you do?
Yeah, I do most of my work at matchquarters.com. So if you go there, it's everything. I've got everything from Power 5 defenses through the NFL. I cover it, and it is a defensive think tank. So if you're into defense and you want to learn more about defense, the big thing that I try and do is make the complex simple. Yeah, you know, if you want to be smarter at football, you know, learning, understanding defense, which I think is one of the most gate-kept areas of football, you know, that's where Match Quarters is a resource for you.
That's awesome. I think for Bears fans, they love defense naturally. So go check out Match Quarters. Go check out Cody Alexander and everything he's doing. But again, thank you so much for your time, and we'll have to do this again sometime soon.
Definitely. Thanks for having me on. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Cody. All right, you guys, that was Cody Alexander. Again, if you want to know more about defensive football, if you just want to be a smarter football fan, go check out everything he's doing in Match Quarters. Again, also Field Vision, which, you know, I didn't get a really chance to, you know, talk to Cody about. Like, that website is awesome. I just started, like, getting into it with all the graphics that they have there, everything going on. Like, it is just a really cool site database to use when you're kind of just looking and trying to figure out like how these players do at their respective positions, and they have charts and everything. You love all that data stuff. This is going to be the opportunity or the site for you to kind of look at. But I think this is a good opportunity for us to just kind of take our first break here before, you know what? I think if you can, everyone who's listening, watching the show live right now, if you have any Bears questions, this would be a good time to really get in there, and we can talk about them second half of the show and just you know, just kind of hang out here for, you know, another 20 minutes as we're kind of still getting ready for the week. Everything's about to come out with the Bears. Actually, I have some stats too on Kyler Gordon that I want to share that should be up soon. Maybe it's already up on Bear Goggles On that I submitted this morning. So we'll get into that. But first, as you guys know, I got to tell everybody about Windy City Sports Cards. They specialize in buying and selling all things related to Chicago sports, whether you're a diehard fan of the Bears, Bulls, Cubs, White Sox, or Blackhawks. Look, they've got you covered with an extensive selection of sports memorabilia and collectibles. In addition to their Chicago-focused items, everybody, they also offer a vast collection of sports trading cards and memorabilia from your favorite teams and players. Visit their online store to find exactly what you're looking for to complete your collection or to discover a new favorite. You can check them out at 312-WindyCitySports.com. That's 312-WindyCitySports.com. And also, I got to tell everybody, you should know about this already. Got to tell everybody about Napleton Cadillac of Libertyville, the one-stop shop for all your needs. And what I mean by that, that's sales, service, parts, and body shop located on 1050 South Milwaukee Avenue in Libertyville, Illinois. The team prides themselves on their service, winning Dealership of the Year twice, everybody. So you got to check out their website at NapletonCadillacLibertyville.com to see all their new and pre-owned vehicles, including the new all-EV Cadillac Lyriq. Also, subscribe to their YouTube channel to view more of their vehicles, which you can find in the description below. Napleton Cadillac of Libertyville, everybody, your one-stop shop for all your needs. All right, everybody, this is the Nicholas Moriano Show. I'm your host, Nicholas Moriano. If you like that conversation with Cody Alexander, again, the owner of Match Quarters, the head of football ops at Field Vision, subscribe to his YouTube channel. There's going to be more great guests on this show, and that's what I'm going to try to definitely do as we continue to you know, just put out content here, get more cool, informative guests that are going to make you smarter Bears fans just by listening to this show. We want to have fun, but honestly, I love the X's and O's. I love learning more about football. I'm sure you do too. And that's what I'm going to try to do with this show. Just bring on people that I think are going to benefit you, benefit me, benefit everybody as we continue to grow this channel. I didn't even mention at the top of the show, if you're not someone that watches on YouTube, we're on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music. So you can go subscribe, leave a comment on there, share it with a fellow Bears fan. It's going to help me grow this channel. Okay, really quickly too. Like I said, I did do write an article on Kyler Gordon and, you know, basically why he's deserving of this contract extension, making him the highest paid nickel corner in the NFL. And like I said before, Cody jumped on, Ryan Poles made Kyler Gordon his first ever draft pick as a Chicago Bears general manager. So why is he deserving? Why is he deserving of that when you just look at the stats? Not Cody detailed some of the other things that you're going to see beyond a box score about scheme and what Kyler does. But if you're just looking at the stats, I mean, it shows that Kyler is definitely deserving to be the highest paid nickel corner until someone eventually, you know, takes that from him. But still, regardless, right now, today, April 14th, Kyler Gordon's the highest paid nickel corner. So what I like about Field Vision, what I was just mentioning earlier, cool database analytical site, they have this metric or this rating system called the Havoc rating. One, it's a dope ass name, Havoc rating, which is, and this is according to their website, is an expression of a player's value relative to others in their position group, accounting for the scheme that they play in. And then there's some other details on there. But so according to Cody Alexander, our guest, who did an awesome article, which is hyperlinked in my article that I wrote on Barrett Goggles On, Gordon ranked third in Havoc rating among nickel cornerbacks who have played 500 plus snaps and 40% in the slot. Only the Giants' Drew Phillips and the Ravens' Marlon Humphrey had a higher Havoc rating. So again, just in that stat alone, yeah, Kyler Gordon deserving of the contract that he got. He also ranked 19th in his coverage grade among cornerbacks, according to Pro Football Focus. So that's nickels. That's everybody on the outside as well. He also finished 20th in overall defensive grade among corners. And only twice last season, everybody, Gordon allowed pass catchers to exceed 50 receiving yards in a game. And he only gave up one touchdown. And when you think about that, like, as a nickel corner, you're not just going up against the opponent's number three wide receiver. There's slot guy. There's going to be times where the tight end's out there. There's going to be times where the offense is going to want to line up their number one wide receiver in the slot. And guess who's going to be tasked with that? Or who has been tasked with that has been Kyler Gordon. Because, again, the Bears typically, under Eberflus, did not shadow or move Jalen Johnson. So, boom, Kyler Gordon, he's going up against whoever's in that position. Only twice, pass catchers, regardless of who they are, have exceeded 50 receiving yards when targeting him. Only gave up one touchdown. His 34 receptions allowed last season was the 12th fewest among slot cornerbacks with at least 150 coverage snaps. Again, we can keep going. Actually, I have more stats to share with you. He also finished 32nd among corners with his 76.5 run defensive grade. And his 12.1 missed tackle percentage ranked 72nd among cornerbacks last season. So Kyler, when he's getting a chance to make that tackle, it's a good shot that he's not only making it, but securing the tackle. There's been a lot of times where that can't be said from guys in the secondary, not specifically with the Bears, but just in general. Now, Kyler, he's definitely one of the best at that. And then as a pass rusher, and Cody alluded to this in our conversation, he could that's definitely a part of his game. That's what Eberflus tried to get out of Gordon. He was tied for the second most total pressures with 9 and had the 10th highest win percentage, 8.5 among cornerbacks with at least 11 pass rush snaps. All in all, Kyler Gordon really does do everything for this Bears defense and has when he's been available on the field and played in 15 games last year. That was a career high. So we just, as long as Kyler Gordon's healthy, guys, he's going to be a productive player. And I'm really excited to see what he can do in this defense with Dennis Allen, who does play a little bit more of that man coverage. And that, I think, should not only make Gordon accentuate his strengths, but same as Jalen Johnson. And what you'll see out of Tyrique Stevenson, too, I think you're going to see a little bit more press opportunities for him. Because I think there's been people right now, and maybe you can chime in this on the chat, but they're a little up and down in Tyrique. Like, could the Bears maybe upgrade for him potentially? But I don't think we've seen Tyrique able to use his physicality a lot at the line of scrimmage because they're usually playing off. And then he gets dinged for being too physical in phase in the route. So maybe if you have him play a little bit more pressed up against maybe the number two wide receiver at times, that's going to allow him, I think, to play a little bit more of his strengths and be just a little bit more productive and efficient as he goes into what, year three now, of his NFL career. So there's a lot of benefits that Dennis Allen's going to bring to this defense. And I just think now you're going to see some of those players who have already played well under Eberflus in the past couple seasons potentially take that next step to their game. And if you can add more consistent pass rush opportunities for this defense, I think that's just more opportunities for the secondary, right? Like, Kyler Gordon didn't have an interception last season. Now he's going to get more opportunities, not only because of man coverage, but the pass rush better be better. That's going to create quicker timing for quarterbacks under duress a little bit more. And then maybe some errant throws where guys like Gordon, Johnson, Tyrique Stevenson has been able to pick off the ball a couple times in his career. So you're going to see a little bit more of that, I think, happen this season. And, you know, Eric Bochan has a really good comment right here, too. Al Harris becoming the defensive backs coach is exactly what Stevenson needs to get his game right. I believe so, too. And Al Harris, obviously part of that Dallas Cowboys team, then they've had some really good success with a lot of young corners over there. So when you think about the coaching, the scheme, the players themselves taking another step, I'm really hopeful and excited for what this defense can do overall. And I think it was really important that the Bears secured Kyler Gordon long-term just because of the versatility he provides on any given down, guys, really. Because when he's playing near the line of scrimmage, as a quarterback, as an offensive lineman, as a tight end, you need to be eyes on number six because you don't know whether that guy is actually going to blitz the quarterback off the edge. And he has that shiftiness to him to where he's getting around guys. He had, again, ballerina background, Kyler Gordon. If people forget about this, I mean, that's why I was so high on him coming out of Washington in 2022. Just the athletic ability. I mean, the guy grew up doing ballerina, like those classes and like the footwork and things like that. You see that translate on the football field, right? Ballroom dancing, I believe. Make sure I got that right because I don't want to, you know, get that wrong about Kyler Gordon. But he's just such a nimble athlete. Let's see, ballroom. Is it ballroom dance? Yeah. That's ballet. It was ballet. That's what, I mean, you see it. He's graceful, but violent, athletic, and just can get to places that, I don't know, maybe it's more difficult for some other nickel corners, but I do just think in this defense with Dennis Allen, there's opportunities is the word that comes to mind. If he has more opportunities to be around the football, he's going to get those interceptions. And I still remember Monday Night Football against the New England Patriots in Foxborough where he had that pick and he got caught from behind. Like that could have easily been his first touchdown. Doesn't have one yet. And the Thursday night game against the Seattle Seahawks. Close. What was a forced fumble? I forget what ended up happening there. But, you know, Kyler Gordon's running down, gets into the end zone. Everyone thinks he scored, gets taken back. But He's due for a touchdown. He's due for more interceptions. And I think this is going to be a big year, 2025, for him to get that done.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
All right, guys, let's. I'm just going to scroll through the chat here, see if anybody has any questions in here. If you're tuning in live here with the rest of the people, if you have any questions, draft, bear, whatever. Doesn't matter. Did you watch The Last of Us last night? What did you think of the episode? Let's talk about it. But let's see, just what people are thinking here. If there are any questions, we have Mike in the chat. Do you think Bears could be a team that takes the first corner off the board? I know it's not a need really, but the value might be there when they pick. Yeah, I mean, that's interesting because I think the Bears will have an opportunity to draft, if they wanted to, if that was in the cards for them, like Will Johnson out of Michigan, will that be somebody that's available at 10? Most likely. I think so. I think it would be. Would the Bears consider drafting him? I don't know. Maybe it all depends on how they feel about Tyrique Stevenson. And then do you find a trade partner for Stevenson? Because I don't think if you're drafting Will Johnson top 10, I don't think you're having Tyreek and Terrell Smith as your backup there. I think you would look to trade him, but is it a possibility? I'm not going to rule it out. I don't think it's going to happen. I'll be honest. I don't think that's going to be what the Bears do with that first pick in round one. But if they're looking at their board, they see an upgrade there. It's a better fit for what Dennis Allen's going to do. I don't know if you can definitively say it's not happening. I just don't think it's going to. Out of all the scenarios that it could play out on draft night, April 24th, I don't think that's going to be it. Ooh, okay, Mike. Mike, you're firing off all the questions. Let's go. Walter Nolan, Ole Miss versus Mykael Williams, Georgia. Who are you taking? Who am I taking? This is with pick 10? Is this where we're selecting both these guys? Because I think it's a reach for both. Man, I like both of them. I think for me, I really like the idea of Mykael Williams, and I know he's a polarizing prospect for a lot of people, but you know, when you factor in that he was dealing with that ankle injury since week one of the college football season, played through it. He's got the length that you want out of your defensive end, your edge rushers that Dennis Allen will like to utilize and deploy off the edge. I think there's still obviously a lot more upside to his game, but man, if I had to pick both of these guys at 10, I'm giving the slight edge to Mykael Williams, but you can convince me otherwise for Walter Nolan too. He obviously really good football player. He's going to play more of the interior there, but the Bears, when they're looking to upgrade the defensive line, I think the past couple weeks, I feel like I've had this transition internally where it's going to be where I thought edge rusher. Yeah. That if they're going to go defense, it's going to be an edge rusher. Now it's, like, definitely transition to more. Well, if that interior defender is there and it fits right with where they're selecting, or even, I don't know, even at 10, like, I could see that equally happening. Just because when I really like Jervon Dexter, where he's going. And then Grady Jarrett, obviously, he's going to be 32 this month if he's not already 32. Then Andrew Billings, like, when Andrew Billings went down, that defense went down. It was a completely different defense. And if that happens again, you don't want to have that type of drop-off because one player on the interior went down. And Billings is getting older. He's still really productive, really good football player. But you just want to ensure that you have guys that if he does have to miss time, even if he's off the field, that there's not a drop off. So, you know, if you're looking at, well, obviously Mason Graham, most likely not going to be there at 10. And last episode, I did use PFF their simulator. Derek Harmon was there for me at 39. So I took him. Most likely not going to be there in the second round. Probably you're going to have to get him in the first round. Like if he's there, am I making that pick a 10? I mean, you definitely could. Obviously, I think more of that 14 to 16 range, if you trade back, like, boom, you take him easily. But, like, you just want to have quality players on the inside because that affects your linebackers, which will then affect the rest of the run game, which the Bears were not very good at stopping the run last season. You don't want to have that drop off again. So, I can definitely see somebody being drafted high in the interior to help out that entire defensive line. Of course, you would love to get another edge rusher with Dio Dangbo, Montez Sweat, Austin Booker, Dominic Robinson, Daniel Hardy, those guys. But yeah, definitely felt like there's been a shift in me. Like they can go get an interior defensive lineman, and I completely understand why. Completely understand why. Kenneth Grant, too. You know, there's been just listening to the Athletics Football podcast with Dane Brugler, Robert Mays, who's it, Fran Murphy? Polarizing opinions on Kenneth Grant. And I know I like him a lot. I think it'd be a good asset to the Bears defense, but there were some, differing opinions. I would be good with him. You know, if he's there in the second round with 39 or 41, I'd take him easily. And speaking of Kenneth Grant, Bears 46, $5 super chat. Appreciate you, Bears 46. Trade down and take Kenneth Grant. So that's still in the first round. Ooh. Ooh, spicy. I like it. Let's, man, I don't know. I tweeted out a video just of, I was just scrolling through my camera roll on my phone, and I found this video of just Rome dancing, just running, you know, routes on air. I don't know what point in the season that was, but he was hyped. And I'm like, man, I'm hyped because the draft's almost here. Cannot wait. And I don't, like, I'm still in decision mode if whether or not I'm going to be in Green Bay for night one or if I'm just going to be at Hell's Hall for night one. I don't know. Or night two. I don't know yet. So we'll see. If I do go down there, potentially get to interview, you know, that first round draft pick, which would be great. If not, get a chance to talk to him at Hell's Hall virtually and then the next day at Hallis. So win-win scenario, however I look at it. But that will be, fun. Can't wait for the draft. Cannot wait for the draft. We have Lily here. You think we leave the draft with a top three or four running back no matter what? Lily, I would say that's, if the Bears don't address running back in round one, you might get the fourth running back, fifth running back, because Genty, Omarion Hampton, Travion Henderson, I mean, Judkins, Caleb John, like you might. Yeah, I would say you're definitely going. The Bears are going to come away. Look, I don't think it's crazy to say the Bears are going to come away with a running back this draft. I think that is a lock. They're coming away with a running back. Coming out of this draft with a running back. They just might miss out on the top three or four if they don't take it in round one, to be completely honest, just because there are some damn good running backs in this class. So they get maybe the fourth or fifth, that's still not a bad option. Let's say that fourth is Caleb Johnson out of Iowa. Yeah, I think that's a win for what the Bears want to just get. And I've also, speaking of me, like having different like level of thinking, like I was like originally when thinking about Ben Johnson and the running backs, oh, you need this like thunder and lightning, like what he had in Detroit, where David Montgomery, a different style runner than Shamir Gibbs, right? David Montgomery, I think when you surface level, think about him, tough yardage, break tackles, and run in between tackles, not going to have that burst, you know, that fast burst that Jahmyr Gibbs has, who is a lightning rod, can line up against linebackers, split out, speed will kill type of runner. Like, he had those two. if Ben Johnson sees a guy like Travion Henderson out of Ohio State as the guy that he wants, with Ryan Poles obviously collaborating with him, does he have similar characteristics as like a DeAndre Swift? I would say so. Like Travion Henderson is closer to a DeAndre Swift than I would think he's than a David Montgomery, right? The explosiveness, ability to be split out wide, can run, also run in between tackles. That's where I think Travion Henderson is better, where he can be better in the NFL than what Swift has shown. But he's closer to that. So if Ben Johnson, Ryan Poles want to draft him and pair him up with Swift, I don't see an issue with that. It's not a completely different type of runner than what he had in Detroit, but it's still a dynamic playmaker, a weapon, as Ben Johnson described the running back position at the NFL owners meeting. So there's just a bunch of different ways they can approach this. So it's not maybe just, oh, we need to get a bruiser type of running back, which I think limits them on the type of playmaker they get at that position. They just need a playmaker, just need another weapon to add back there with DeAndre Swift. You do that, you're just making Caleb Williams' job a lot easier. You're making, obviously, Ben Johnson's job a lot easier, the entire offensive line. So all things that, you know, I'm kind of thinking about as we get closer and closer to the NFL draft. All right, everybody. I think that's going to wrap it up. That's going to be a show for this Monday edition of the Nicholas Moriano Show. Really appreciate Cody Alexander jumping on here to talk everything about Kyler Gordon. Again, go check out his work, please, at Match Quarters, also the head of football ops at Field Vision. Like you said, he is a cornerback by trade, by heart, loves getting into the nitty-gritty of defensive play, and he'll just make you a way smarter football fan if you go and consume his content. But definitely, hopefully you enjoyed his conversation with me on Kyler Gordon, Jalen Johnson, Dennis Allen, the Bears defense. So that's exactly, you know, the type of content you should expect here at the Nicholas Moriano Show. Make sure to like, subscribe, leave a comment on this show. And then also, if you are an audio listener, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, really anywhere you listen to your podcast, go subscribe, leave a comment, and share it with a fellow Bears fan. It'll definitely help me out. But that's going to do it for this episode of the Nicholas Moriano Show. And actually, before we head out, I'm so focused here on the camera, I always tell people, before we close it out, hey, if you haven't already, you got to check out Protein 2O. If you're looking for a protein drink alternative to what you've been drinking, you get your 20 grams of protein in a delicious, delicious drink. I have strawberry watermelon. I mean, it really doesn't get better than that. So you get your 20 grams of protein and also 350 milligrams of your electrolytes. Or maybe after a night out of drinking, you know, you need some electrolytes to replenish. It's going to do it. And you're going to get your protein as well. And it also tastes great. So Protein 2O, check them out. I'm actually going to get ready to go to the gym over here in a little bit and take my Protein 2O with me. And then actually, before I close it out, let me see really quickly. Not yet. Okay. But there's also going to be an article on Bear Goggles On for my just article that I wrote on Kyler Gordon, which will actually be up at 11 a.m. So what, 13 minutes from now, you'll get to read my content, Kyler Gordon, and all those stats that I shared with you, all in there. So you can check it out as well. But that's going to do it, everybody. Appreciate everyone for tuning in, hanging out on your Monday morning. There'll be plenty of content for the rest of this week. There will be availability on Thursday at Hallis Hall. So be a big show there, just sharing everything that we hear from the coaches there. So that's going to do it, though. We'll be back for the rest of the week. But until then, adios, Bears fans.
Bend over to your right.
What the f*** was that?
What's up, Bears fans? Fans.
People want to hear me talk.